Blog Talk Radio.
Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas on Wednesday, April the 7th. Tonight we're going to get an update on what's happening at the border. A lot of things happening, and unfortunately they're not good. And we're going to get a report tonight from my friend George Rodriguez, who's down there, of course, and keeping an eye on what's going on. And as we will hear in a few minutes, a lot of bad things are unfortunately happening down on the border, things that are the direct consequence of not having any rules and having a totally chaotic situation. We're also going to talk a little bit about baseball going woke. I mean, that is really sad. And hopefully they pay a price for that. I hate to say it because I'm a huge baseball fan and nobody loves the game more than I do, and certainly the history of the game. And here I have to talk about baseball, but not in the way that I like to talk about it, which is runs and hits and batting average and this player and that player and the history of the game. Now, tonight we're talking about baseball going woke. What a tragedy that is. Let me say hello to our friend George Rodriguez down in San Antonio. George, welcome. How's everything going?
Well, for me it's going good.
Yes.
It's nice and warm. It's a clear day. It was really nice. But unfortunately, we've got some real, real bad situations going on here in San Antonio. In fact, right in our own backyard, all related to this situation that we've got with the border.
Absolutely, we're going to get into that in tremendous detail tonight because I know you've got some pretty interesting things that you're going to report. How's the weather, though? I always ask you. I think you kind of told me that it's pretty nice down there. It's pretty nice up here too. So I think we're entering that time of the year, George, where the weather in Texas is pretty much the way it always is. It starts getting warm and it stays warm, and maybe a storm here and there. But I think between now and September, the weather is pretty predictable. That's been my experience around here, George.
It is. It's we're getting into that period right now where everything is blossoming. I drove up to San Angelo the other day, and the bluebonnets are spectacular. I mean, just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And I'm speaking in Corpus tomorrow, and I anticipate that more bluebonnets are going to be popping up on the drive. But it's really beautiful. It's really, really nice.
It is, and those bluebonnets are absolutely gorgeous. For anybody who's familiar with that in Texas, you know, you see this especially if you're driving in an open field or something, you look to either side and it's nothing but these gorgeous bluebonnets all over Texas. They're part of our culture here. Well, let's talk a little bit before we get to the border, George. I want to get your reaction to Major League Baseball because, you know, we know what happened. They decided to cancel the All-Star game. They took it out of Atlanta. They moved it to Denver. And there are so many contradictions in all of this, George, beginning with the fact that this is what bothers me. I'll put it on a very personal level. I really think that if the commissioner of baseball is going to make a decision of this magnitude, that he should have a press conference, address the issue, take a few questions, and explain exactly how the Georgia law violates anybody's rights.
True.
So, I'm sitting here going, you know, I'm hearing that, you know, we're going to move the All-Star game, George, because of this terrible Georgia law. But nobody has explained to me how the law is that terrible, George. And that's what bothers me about the commissioner doing what he did, George.
Well, you know, the big problem that I see is that so many things have been based on erroneous comments. I heard CBS repeat some this morning where they were talking about how they were upset that people would not be able to even receive water when they are in line to vote. Now, you know, one thing is to get water while you're in line to vote. Another thing is to actually be denied to vote. You know, from what I understand, there is a limit up to where you can receive water, you can receive pamphlets, you can be talked to, and that's nothing new. Apparently, the law just enforces that you can't do that. So there's nothing really wrong with that, other than it's erroneous information.
Right.
The big headache that I've got is the comment, and this has been all over the place. The comment by the president, by President Biden,
yes,
that you know, somehow this is the return of Jim Crow.
Right.
That's just not true. That's just not true at all.
Well, it's also, George, insulting from a historical standpoint, because anybody who lived, and unfortunately people did live under the Jim Crow period many years ago, that was such a different situation than what we're seeing now. We're talking, as far as I'm concerned, we're talking here about vote integrity. We're not talking about denying anybody their right to vote. And if the state of Georgia was in fact denying anybody the right to vote, let's say, that legislation would be in the courts so quickly, because
right.
the Democrats would take it to a federal judge immediately and say, this law or this piece of legislation denies me or someone the right to vote, and it would be in the courts. And they haven't taken it to the courts. And what that says to me is that this is really not about voting rights. This is about, you know, it's just a political attack. It's the kind of thing the Democrats do. When they don't really have an argument, they go back to the usual playbook. You're a racist. Everything is racist. Everything is racist. And that's what I see here, George.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's, again, the, you know, kid crying and screaming wolf when there is none. You know, they're upset because they are being asked to provide documentation at the time, you know, voter ID when you're going to go vote. Well, you know, it's aggravating because you have to provide ID everywhere, all over the place, and this is not anything new. This is not, you know, this is not something that infringes on anybody. The other thing is that, you know, they're claiming that this will cause a problem to people who, don't have voter ID. Well, what they've done, what Georgia has done, is extended the early voting so that people can have ability or a time to get the vote, the ID to vote. The other thing is, you know, they are screaming about this whole issue about how people, you know, some people don't have the capacity to go get voter IDs or an ID. Well, if they've got the capacity to round people up and take them to vote, why can't you round them up and take
right.
them to go an ID?
Exactly. No, you're exactly right. And again, the thing is that, you know, please tell me exactly, and this would be my question to them, tell me exactly what specifically does this piece of legislation do to make it more difficult to vote? Don't tell me that it does without telling me or giving me specifics. But this is such a typical tactic. We've seen it before. That it's the play they always come back to. When they cannot debate something, they always go back to the race card. But here's another thing that bothers me, George. CNN and Coca-Cola and Delta have headquarters in Georgia. Well, if Georgia is Jim Crow or such a racist place, why don't they move out? I mean,
yeah.
CNN in particular ought to pick up their headquarters and, let's say, move it somewhere else because, apparently Georgia is such a terrible place. So, again, I keep going back, and it's the same thing is happening here in Texas. I believe the Senate, our Senate has actually approved our version of that law, and I'm sure we'll go into the same, you know, everybody's a racist routine. If they take it to the courts, I'm pretty sure that this legislation will survive, just like SB4 survived a few years ago. So the way I look at it, George, and then we'll get to the border, this is nothing but a distraction from the Democrats because they don't want to talk about the high price of gasoline. That's what.
That's exactly right. That's exactly
right. You know, the fact
is, I agree 100%.
You know, I heard this the other day, George. Maybe you heard it too. On the day that President Biden came in, according to AAA, the organization, the well-known organization that for travel and when your car breaks down or whatever. I've used it many times. They're a very good organization. And they put out reports on the price of gasoline. Well, on the day that President Biden took over, the price of gasoline was like $2.29 national average. National average. Obviously, here in Texas, we're always below that, but that's the national average. Today, the national average is $2.89. Okay, in less than 3 months, it's going up 60 cents a gallon. Now, I'm not really good at math, but I think that's a pretty big increase. And that is a tax on every single Hispanic who puts gasoline in the family car or the business truck. And they don't want to talk about that. And, you know, they'd rather talk about allegations of vote fraud and they're taking away my rights. And that's what I see behind all of this, George. They don't want to talk about gasoline prices. And the other thing they don't want to talk about is the chaos on the border that you're going to talk about and tell us about in a couple of minutes. Because that situation on the border, all I can tell you is the following story, George, and then we'll get to the border. A week or so ago, I was talking to a friend of mine from Romania. He left Romania, I'm going to say about 40 years ago. He left Romania for the same reason that I left Cuba, and that is a communist country. And then later, he was able to bring his parents over. And he was telling me that when he came here, nobody put him up at a hotel. You know, he came here and he had to follow the law. And when his parents came here, they had to wait on a list that went on for a couple of years. So, you know, a lot of people who did this correctly and legally are looking at what's going on down on the border and saying, wait a minute, why is this going on? Why aren't these people being forced to obey the law like the millions of other immigrants, not just Hispanic, but from many nationalities who came here and respected the law, George? So that's, I think the Democrats are distracting us from that topic, and that's what I think they're doing, George. It's just total distraction. So let's do this. Total distraction, I should say. Let's do this. Let me take a break, and then when we come back, you can tell us about what's going on down on the border. I know it's not good, and you can give us details. We'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, chatting with our good friend George Rodriguez from South Texas. Well, George, I know some bad things are happening down on the border, some things that should not happen, but it's all because of this chaos south of the border, or on the border, I should say. And you're watching it pretty closely. So why don't you tell us the latest from the border, George? I know it's not a pretty story, and you know it's not something we enjoy reporting, but it is the way it is.
Well, we've gotten a really nasty situation that has popped up here in San Antonio at the Coliseum, at the Joe Freeman Coliseum, where they are housing about 2,000 kids, mostly boys. I think they're all boys. Apparently, there was a tip that was sent to the San Antonio, to the Bexar County Sheriff's Office, of somebody that was abusing the boys. Not to mention that there were also some assaults that were going on. The governor, apparently these reports were so bad that the governor even got wind of it. And he held a press conference in front of Joe Freeman Coliseum early this afternoon and, just flatly accused the whole situation of being a result of the chaos on the border caused by the Biden administration refusing to control the border. The specifics of the accusation or the allegation or the situation have not been made public yet, and I'm not sure how much we are going to get information about it because it involves a minor or minors. But apparently, what we have learned is that it involved volunteers that were asked to come to the Coliseum to help with the boys, with the migrant boys. Again, this is the part of the chaos that is going on. These nonprofit organizations, like Catholic Charities, like the Migrant Children's Fund, and a few others, have just not been prepared to handle the situation. On top of that, they are not vetting people who have volunteered and who are coming to assist. It is really, really tragic and really just, a terrible situation because, again, these kids are arriving because they are being used as a loophole for people to get into the United States illegally, to circumvent the legal migration immigration process. We have seen videos recently of two little girls that were dumped, literally thrown over the wall. We have also seen another video that I helped to get out, where a border patrol agent on his way home came upon a little boy, 12 years old, who was crying, lost. The crowd that he was with that had crossed the border illegally at another point had apparently abandoned him. And he had fallen asleep because he's tired and he's a kid. He had apparently fallen asleep. When he woke up, the group that he was with had picked up and left and snuck away and left him. He was not traveling with anybody that is a relative, and so they, apparently didn't feel any kind of attachment to the child, and they got up and left, and they left him alone. The kid was wandering down the road crying, completely lost. Really, really a tragic, situation. I just talked to one of my friends who is one of the Border Patrol agents very quietly, and he says that there are dozens, dozens of situations daily that they are seeing, but they are not able, they have been clamped down very, very tightly by the Biden administration as to what they can say and who they can talk to.
Right.
He was talking to me from his home on his cell phone, his private cell phone, and he was telling me that, the situation had reached the point where most of the Border Patrol agents are doing only 6 hours are allowed for them to go home, to relax, to sleep, and then they've got to come back because that's how much of a demand is upon them. They are dealing with adults constantly, but they are coming across children left and right that are abandoned in the woods or on the street by adults who claim that they are family, that they are a family unit, and then they abandon them. It's amazing. It's really tragic. And this
situation. No, it is. And you're exactly right. And it the biggest tragedy, I would think, or I think, is that all of this is self-inflicted. There's absolutely no reason whatsoever for this to be happening. There was a system in place, not perfect. Nobody ever said that. I mean, the border has never been perfect, but at least, you know, there was a system in place that was controlling the chaos. And that, unfortunately, was set aside, as you know, the Remain in Mexico policy that was working. And now you have a situation where it's total, complete chaos. And I don't know, George, maybe help me with this, but I don't know how in the world you stop this. Because, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to stand and say, okay, at 3 o'clock, no more come in. I mean, or something like that. You know, because then, you know, how do you do that? How do you exactly stop this problem? So I see the problem getting worse. The other thing, too, George, please give me more information on this if you have it. The other thing that I see is, what about COVID? What about COVID? Yeah. I mean, you've got people coming
into... Well, that was the other thing. The allegation not only includes sexual abuse, but it also includes that there is no... there are no protocols or safety precautions being followed at Joe Freeman Coliseum with regards to COVID. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, besides the fact that, you know, physical assaults, beatings by older boys of smaller younger boys, mm-hmm. besides the issue of sexual assault by heaven knows whom, mm-hmm. These kids are also now like a petri dish of germs there at the Coliseum. Now, you know, one of the things that's been happening that also has been clamped down on, you know, and really, you know, it really, really upsets me because the mainstream media has been very, very accommodating to the Biden administration and not reporting very many things. One of the things that has been ignored is that the kids, besides the issue of COVID, a lot of them are coming in with mumps and measles, mm-hmm. not to mention, you know, some with lice. And this is a repeat of what was happening under the Obama administration, only it's a repeat times 10. And so the Border Patrol agents, the agents themselves, are really endangering not only themselves, but their families, Right. And this is, you know, this is really, really an outrage that the Biden administration just doesn't seem to have care for the safety and health of Border Patrol agents, never mind the health and safety of American citizens, because these kids are going to be all over the country.
Right, so. Exactly. And that's it. And I mean, and just recently, George, you probably saw this. Just recently, Mexico put out some COVID figures that were pretty high. They had to revise their casualty figures, and they're up to about 310,000 total casualties. And I have some friends of mine in Mexico who don't even believe that figure, but let's just assume that that figure is correct. 310,000 in a nation of 130 million compared to, let's say, 500,000 for us in a nation of 330. Why would you bring in people from a country that is having a very difficult time like that, you know, dealing with COVID? I mean, why would you at a time like this bring in people, you know, from a country that is having problems? I mean, wouldn't that be the perfect reason to say not now? Wouldn't that be the perfect excuse to tell the immigration activists, hey, guys, this is not the time to do it because of COVID? I mean, it makes sense to me that if that had been the policy of the Biden administration, simply say, because of health reasons, we're not going to open the border right now. We may reconsider this later in 6 months or whatever, but right now it just doesn't make sense from a public health standpoint. Forget immigration, from a public health standpoint. That's where I don't understand how they dropped the ball on something as basic as that, George.
Well, you know, and I'm not sure that it's an issue of dropping the ball. I think it's an issue where Biden has just become so surrounded. The Democratic Party has just been taken over by radicals who care about the narrative and the objective more than, you know, reality. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are in complete denial of reality when it comes to so many things, like the Georgia voting law, like the border situation, that, you know, they are the end, the means justifies the end. And I'm just saddened and shocked that, you know, so many with the media just don't challenge the Biden administration on this. I guarantee that if this was Trump, I mean, there would be absolute apoplexy among the reporters.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, especially because of children involved. And you know, because, you know, after all, and I think I've said it before that, you know, I think these children are being used terribly.
Oh, yeah,
and,
definitely. Definitely.
You know,
they are being used as a loophole. I mean, the bottom line is that they are being used as a loophole to enter the country. The bigger issue on that is that they're being used, that the people that want to come into the country are being used by the cartels. They're being made money off of.
Right.
And
so I think you're exactly right. They're being used, and somebody's making money out of this, and people are being exposed. Unfortunately, they're being exposed with COVID, and it is absolutely shocking to me that nobody in the White House had the common sense to say, "Hey, let's not do it right now. We got a COVID right now. Let's put this off."
I'm not sure that they don't. You know, I mean, another thing that really makes me wonder and worries me about this whole situation is, you know, under normal circumstances, a sitting president, would worry about the voter backlash.
Mm-hmm.
And these folks just don't seem to be worried about that, which makes me wonder what kind of a voting system we're looking at in the future.
Right. No, you're right. You're right. I mean, they don't seem to worry about – well, you're right about that. They don't seem to worry about the backlash. Now, I do think there is going to be a backlash because if you look at some of the polling data, he's underwater when it comes to the immigration issue. You know, he does get – I mean, and some polls – I mean, there's lots of different polls, and I guess you can look at whatever one you like. I kind of like Rasmussen reports because they've been pretty good over the years. And when I checked this morning or yesterday, he was at 47 for presidential approval. That means he's underwater. That's not a dangerous number. 47 is not a dangerous number. You know, but if this keeps up, I think I can see him down in the low 40s pretty soon. And when that happens, it's really tough to come back, particularly in a country as polarized as this one. George, you mentioned the governor, and I wanted to ask you here at the end of the show, what do you think the governor can do at this point? I mean, couldn't he argue that this is an emergency because of the health crisis, because of the child abuse? Does he have any way of at least using state sources to push back a little bit, George? I mean, I don't know. Maybe he doesn't, or maybe he does. What do you think?
Well, you know, under the Obama administration, there was a challenge that was pushed regarding that crisis that was going on at that point with those kids. And the Supreme Court just really kind of just never addressed the issue. And the issue is clearly, you know, here we have a state, in actuality several states, because Arizona has voiced a concern, and I believe even Louisiana has now voiced a concern. But we have a state that has voiced a concern demanding that the federal government act to protect its citizens. This is clearly what we've got and what is being looked at, and clearly within the constitutional mandate of the federal government. Why the federal government cannot act on it, or hasn't acted on it for legal purposes, I think it's just a question that it has not been, Democrats haven't wanted to address it, while the Supreme Court itself hasn't addressed it. So between the two, we're caught between a between situation. But I think it, we've reached a situation where it's got to be escalated, and the Supreme Court has got to address the issue to allow the state of Texas to do something if the federal government doesn't,
government
to do something.
Yeah. No, I think you're right, and I would present it along the lines that all of these things that are happening are being done by executive order. The Congress of the United States, to my knowledge, has not approved any of this. So, it's all being done by executive order. Now, to be fair, President Trump also used executive orders. And to be even more honest, I hate executive orders. I wish we would get away from executive orders. I think executive orders are, in my opinion, particularly like what we're seeing with the pipeline and so many other things, to me, they're completely unconstitutional. For the president to be governing in this fashion, he should go to the Congress and say, folks, I want to do this. I need you to vote on it. But I kind of get the feeling a lot of Democrats in the Congress don't really want to vote on this.
They don't want a record. They don't want a record, it seems like.
Right. They don't want to be on the record one way or the other on this, so they basically, they get away from responsibility by just letting the president write the executive orders. Well, George, I want to thank you so much for your report, always extremely helpful. And hopefully, the situation will improve. But as I mentioned, I don't see this thing improving at all. I honestly think this is going to get worse. And the backlash is going to get bad. I really do. Because at least in South Texas, South Arizona, we're hearing a lot of people are pretty angry, George.
Yeah, it really is. I am not. I heard from some ranchers today, and I heard from some a county judge, and they are all just really, really, upset. They are set to be tied, something's got to happen. Something's got to give.
I agree. Give us a quick report of where you're going to be. You said you're going to be in Corpus tomorrow, so give us a quick report of where you're going to be around Texas, George.
I'm going to be in Corpus tomorrow. Next week, I will be here in San Antonio. There's going to be a rally at the Alamo to preserve. There is legislation that has been presented to preserve our monuments, and I will be speaking at a rally here in at the Alamo on next week on Thursday, exactly. In fact, in 2 weeks, I'm hoping to be in beautiful Allen, Texas.
Oh, that's just north of us. So hopefully we will see you if you come up here.
I will try to get up there early enough so we could have lunch or something. And
I look forward to that very much, like we did the last time that you came up here. Well, thank you so much, George. Have a wonderful evening, and I look forward to your next report. And thank you for the great work that you do, George.
You take care, my man. You be good. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Our good friend George Rodriguez down in South Texas. A lot of crazy stuff happening down there, and George is right. A lot of it is not being covered by the media. I don't know why, because we're talking here about kids, and we're talking about COVID, so I don't know who they're protecting by not covering it. But it's not. You're just not getting the same intensity in the reporting that you did back in the Trump years, and that's not good for the country. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.